Nemechek.
Here.
Conklin.
Here.
Moody.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Lassiter.
Here.
Quorum present.
Thank you. Next is the consent agenda. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any item on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. The two items are the approval of the January 25th, 2022 regular meeting minutes that are presented, and approve the recommendation from Chief of Police Kevin Spade to authorize the city manager to sign a purchase order for the purchase of 3 Dell desktop computers with Microsoft Home, Office, and Business from Common Angle for a total not to exceed $4,300. Anyone in the public want something pulled or comment? Commissioners? If not, I would...
All I would like to know is where we left off our... Jim's job right now. I thought we were trying to have that in place by now, but...
No, the items are on board. They're going to be on order. I'm trying to schedule to make sure that we have the 30-day pullback period on that and make sure that we can get 2 full meetings on that. So I contacted them with their delivery schedules, and I'll be ordering it shortly after this meeting to make sure that hopefully it'll be here and ready for the next meeting, and that'll give us 2 full meetings.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion on the consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Is there a second?
I support that.
Any other discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Thank you. Moving to citizens' comments on non-agenda items. If you would, please address yourself from the podium so comments are limited to 5 minutes, and Jessica will be timing that for us.
Hi, I'm Sandy Pritchard. I live at 526 East Lincoln Street. I'd like to raise a new topic. The public noticing process is, the method is to publish in the local newspaper, I believe. It's supposed to be a quarter page ad. And it is the prevailing legal benchmark. But I'd ask the commission, if nothing prevents you guys from doing this, to establish a more modern, less archaic approach to public noticing. Few, or maybe more people than I realize, get a physical newspaper, and few get an electronic newspaper. The Tosca News Review is the local newspaper. So I'm asking the commission to take under advisement a request to draft and implement a resolution that, at minimum, requires public notices to be published on the city's website, on their social media page, and any other form of media communication that might ensure public awareness on important matters. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Anyone else?
Monica Ross, 109 East Michigan. I was just reading the minutes from the last meeting, and I noticed that the short-term rental issue was brought up at the last meeting, and I believe it was approved that the city commission would be the one who draft the short-term rental rules. I noticed Commissioner Lassiter had said he would like to not be involved because he feels it's conflict of interest because he owns one. It would appear to me that Commissioner Moody and Commissioner Nemechek might also be in conflict of interest because they earn their living as realtors, and the potential for them selling to someone who wants to use a property as a short-term rental also exists. You went on to say that you want to include more public input on this issue, and it would seem if the city commission is the one drafting it, it would seem that, based on my opinion, there might only be two people that would be qualified, mayor and Mayor Pro Tem. And I just wondered if that issue had ever been thought about.
Anyone else? Okay, moving along. Correspondence. We have a letter from Roger Murad. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correct. Any comment on that, commissioners? No. Okay. Moving on to the city manager's report, Mike.
A few items. Since our last meeting, we received interest from one internal candidate for our DPW position opening, the DPW director position. While that person remains interested and will be considered going forward, he concurred with undertaking an outside search. As a matter of fact, he actually mentioned it to me. I anticipate that the position, and we completed that conversation today, being advertised tomorrow with applications due in early March. Cassidy Moody has been hired as our new front office clerical position. She fills a position previously held by Jessica Pearl before her promotion to city clerk treasurer. Cassidy started in this position on January 13th and is coming up to speed very quickly. So I'd encourage anybody to stop by and say hello and welcome her aboard next time you are in City Hall during regular office hours. The shoreline protection projects at Tannery Park and Peninsula Beach have wrapped up for the time being until their final restoration in the spring, when the work at North Lake Street Bridge also takes place. If you notice, the screen is kind of blank on our TVs right now. I'm trying to bring up the picture that we talked about at the last City Commission meeting that shows the steps there that we talked about. And if it comes up, I'll bring it up. Otherwise, I'll email it out after. Last Monday, Mrs. Deming's Boyne City High School class, along with Irish teachers Michael Kerr and Eden Nye Schroen, and their Boyne Valley Irish students met one another for the first time on Zoom. The students and teachers will be working together for the remainder of the year, both here in Boyne City and in the Boyne Valley of Ireland. This is part of our sister city twinning relationship between the two communities, which is the homeland of our first original permanent settlers. Mrs. Deming reports it as Boyne Pride times two. I regret to report, and Mark regretted to report to me, that the water level sensor connector at the South Water Reservoir in Hills at Avalanche failed again last week. So it appears that it was not a programming issue, as our electrical experts told us. But there's a fault in the cable that is aggravated by the very cold weather. With the temperatures getting milder in the last week, it is now operating again, but we'll continue to monitor the situation and then pursue long-term solutions like we talked about before. We have been approached by an outdoor business that is interested in using some of our on-street downtown public parking as an outdoor dining area during the non-winter months. This is being researched by staff, which, working with the Main Street and Planning Commission, plans to bring the matter to the City Commission with a recommendation for consideration. We've also been approached by a party that is considering donating over $100,000 in funds that they would like to be used to help build a splash pad at one of our waterfront parks. While they wanted me to feel free to mention it, they really didn't want to get into too many details so they can confirm that the money and their intentions have firmed up, which they anticipate to happen before our next City Commission meeting. And this subject will be raised at this week's Park and Recreation Board meeting, so they can start giving us some thought too. So if you have any questions on these or other items, I'd be glad to address them, and it doesn't look like the picture is going to open up in time.
What is a splash pad?
It's kind of a combination item. It has water shooting up. The one that what they presented us pictures with also had like an umbrella that shoots water down or a bucket. Kind of like they have an avalanche bay, but on a smaller scale.
I got you.
Any other questions?
Marty? Yeah, so the avalanche deal is the cable at the top of it, avalanche?
There is a connector between the water reservoir, which is about two-thirds up the way of avalanche, and that cable makes the connection all the way down to the 1910 building. Okay. So somewhere in there, we're not exactly sure where, there's a fault that when we get really cold weather and we're thinking maybe it moves the soil or something of that nature. But this has been kind of happening on and off for about the last couple of years. And when we have really cold weather, it seems to raise up every so often. Fortunately for us, when it goes bad, it reads the water tank as basically being fuller than it could be. So that alerts the crews. We don't run out of water, but our crews have to manually fill it until the cable returns to operation. And I was able to, this is the picture, if I can, it did come up finally. I think if I left it spinning, it was fun for a while. This is Tannery Park, and this is looking from the water back towards Front Street and Division. You can see there, and it's a little bit hard to see with the snow there, but kind of, maybe about a third of the way up the picture, you can see the steps. Which are the main steps from the grass area down to the ice front right now, but it will be the waterfront when the spring returns. So there was concerns that were expressed that there weren't any steps that were installed at this location. Those are there. Also, further to the west, near where this property joins abuts the neighboring property, we have a small section of the waterfront that does not have the stone protectors in it. Again, these stone protectors are to stop the erosion where we've lost many feet of frontage at this park, probably one of our worst locations, when we had the high water levels. So I think this is the picture that Commissioner Nemechek was referring at our last meeting, and we'll get that on the city website as well.
Anything else, Martin? Anyone else?
The only few questions I had was about the out system, but we already addressed that. And then these photos, is there any way we can have these shared with our social media?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. I'll get them to Jim tomorrow. We can get them out there. I have a couple other views of it as well, too, from a different angle, but this one I thought showed it the clearest.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Moving on, we have in our packets the reports of officers, boards, and standing committees from the Main Street Board draft minutes of January 6th, Parks and Rec draft minutes of January 13th, the Planning Commission draft minutes of January 17th, the Economic Development Corporation draft minutes of January 17th, the Local Development Finance Board draft minutes of January 17th, the Airport Advisory Board draft minutes of January 20th, and the Airport Advisory Board special meeting draft minutes of February 2nd. Are there any comments or questions regarding the boards and committee minutes? Marty?
So mine was to the Planning Commission meeting minutes, and so this is probably more a question for James. So we seem to, first and foremost, I've never been a fan of all the parking studies we've ever done, and we seem to do quite a few of them. We've had a lot of them. We spent a lot of money on them. With that being said, we always seem to do these things, and then we waive the parking. My fear is, if and when there comes a time, because the Planning Commission meetings talk for waiving more parking for a project. And, you know, if we continue to waive parking and then we come to a point when someone says, well, I want to do this, and we go, yeah, sorry, we can't, we're not going to do that, we can't do that. You know, are we in full authority, or, you know, have we already established that, you know, we waive and we waive and we waive, and now we've backed ourselves into a corner and a lawsuit? That's my question.
Kim, are you in a position to be able to answer that question?
Well, I'm not sure I'm fully tracking it, but you can always change your mind. I mean, are you, what was the question? Can you, are you, are you a stop?
So we've got, we've waived a lot of different parking.
Right.
Over the years. We tried to waive parking over a development over here at the end of Water Street, which that turned into a full-blown referendum against that. That was the way that One Water Street got stopped. So I guess I'm trying to find out at which point in time does this commission or the city in general get back to New Corner, and you know, when the next guy comes and we go, yeah, sorry, you don't have enough parking, we're denying, you know, we're denying what you want. Now, Planning Commission has a million different ways to deny something. You know, so I'm sure they take a much more creative way, I guess. But my fear is just sitting here saying, okay, we set the precedent, and now someone says, man, they just did it over here, this is perfect, I want to do this, and then the Planning Commission goes, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, if you've set a custom and practice of taking such action, you probably are stuck with it. On the other hand, you can change your rules. You can change an ordinance, and you can, some cities waive parking everywhere, all the time. And then you can change your rule, come up with an ordinance, and no, I'm not sure if it's your downtown board or this board, but if you didn't change the rules, yes, you might be stuck. But that doesn't mean you're always stuck, you just need to follow a different process. Revise an ordinance or adopt an ordinance.
So we need to be cautious.
You need to think about what's in place now and whether you'd want to change it, correct?
This is my question.
So my out.
Mr. Mayor, on this topic, if you want to weigh in, because it's not an agenda item, maybe we can make it an agenda item, but...
It is an agenda item. It's reports and boards and standing committees done.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, fair enough. Okay. But we have Scott here, who is the director, and he would be best to address that, I would think. And we have actually three commission, planning commissioners too. And in my opinion, if you want me to continue, Mr. Mayor, is that our decisions are justified by data. And we're not just making a whim. Actually, we have another commissioner here again. Sky just walked in. So, you know, it's based on data. It's based on parking study, based on 22 empty, not filled all the time, 22 empty spots within a 300-foot radius of the building in question. So, I mean, this is not random, is what I'm saying. And we do have the experts here to address
it. You're missing my point. I called Scott today for the parking study, and because I knew that we had had it, and I asked, you know, what the Planning Commission was referencing, you know, and I didn't say anything about the project. I asked if we were setting a precedent, and we're backing ourselves into a corner.
We're not backing ourselves into a corner, because like I said, we're making our decision based on data.
I respect you. You're not an attorney, Tom, so I respect Jim's opinion more. That's all.
So maybe this is a possible agenda item for a future meeting, you know, just to make sure that we put it thoroughly. And, do you want to say something?
With regards to this immediate issue, I think in my manager's report, there's a parking question that's come up, both with regards to the most recent request that we received from somebody that would like to use some of our on-street public parking, and also with regards to some of the parking lot usage that we've talked about before. I think there may be an opportunity when we bring those items back to the City Commission that would be a good time to talk about all this, maybe the parking studies and things of that nature.
Moving on, or were there any other comments about the minutes that we're going to have? Okay, we can move on to old business. Under old business, we have the rehab update. We have a here. Barb is going to give an update on the
The city commission approved a recommendation for staff to work with Adam Marsh to submit a grant application for the Economic Development Administration for the purpose to renovate and expand the city arena. December 14th of 2021, after working with Adam Marsh, gathering input from commission members, from the public, we kind of tweaked the plan and came up with something revised that we thought addressed some of the concerns of the public. And this commission kind of gave their blessing to use this plan instead of the original to continue to move forward with the grant application. Since the EDA grant application was submitted on January 4th, I believe, the regional EDA representative started a preliminary review of the application. On January 12th, it was realized that there was an error and some conflicting information within that grant application. Adam Marsh notified the EDA representative of the misinformation regarding the overall plan, and that clarification would be forthcoming. In the agenda packet, there was a letter from Adam Marsh that kind of addressed the error. On January 19th, a revised and corrected version of the grant application was submitted back to the EDA. The corrections that addressed the mooring fields, which were never meant to be part of the application, and we've discussed that, you know, different meetings. In addition, the EDA representative asked for, you know, points of clarification and additional information, so we've been going back and forth with him on that. As of today, it's still unknown to me the EDA's time frame for review and determination, but as that information is shared with us or we get any updates, I'll make sure that we share it with the city commission. There's a few items of discussion that I'm going to try to address that I heard, whether it be on social media or just in general, regarding, so the first one would be Adam Marsh and what we're paying them for the grant application submittal. So the city commission approved to spend up to $10,000 through December 31st. We've been invoiced approximately $4,500 of that $10,000. So we've not spent all $10,000 yet. Obviously, there was quite a bit of work done in January, and we'll be getting that invoice shortly. But that's where we are with those funds. Operationally, the marina has run in the black for probably 15 years, maybe a little bit longer. During that time, we've taken on several large projects that required quite a bit of funds, either to do the project itself or to put towards match for grants through the state, such as replacement of the multi-use dock that's used for fishing and shopper's dock that was completely replaced. We replaced 3 out of the 5 fixed finger piers to make them adjustable, so as the water levels go up and down, they're still usable. And then a few years ago, the T-dock was installed. We call it the T-dock, and that was the start of the new floating wave attenuator. In addition to those larger projects, each year money is used for general maintenance and invested in infrastructure and dock repairs. Because we've worked to maintain the docks that we have that were slated to last approximately 25 years or so, we're going on 40 plus years with them. They are tired. There's plenty of things that need to be addressed, but we continue to maintain them the best we can. The general direction over the years, at least since I've been here, and affiliated with the marina, was that we needed to continue to do general maintenance. But basically, the ultimate goal was to work towards this bigger picture of overall renovation and expansion. So we've continued to try to grow that fund balance towards that, or take on projects that kind of put us in alignment to continue to build upon, such as the dock that we put in a few years ago. Bonding for the difference between the project cost and the grant awards is common practice amongst municipalities, similar to large purchases that many of us take on, like such as a home, a business investment, etc. You save money, you have a down payment. Very few people have the funds, no matter how long you save, to pay cash. It's very common to take out a loan, and it's very common for municipalities to do this. When you do improvements with your wastewater treatment plant, many times it's a bond that you take out and you pay over time. The city has had a financial consultant look specifically at the marina funds over the last, I think he went back probably close to 10 years and studied that. And he feels very comfortable that under all, you know, normal circumstances, there is no reason that the marina funds could not pay back this bond payment. Every year, staff and the commission look at and discuss marina revenues and expenses. We talk about rates and proposed projects. This is usually done through the budgeting process. Revenues come from the user fees. Because we are a grant aid facility, meaning that we've taken grant funds from the state of Michigan, the state does have some input on our rates. They provide a range, and then it's up to the individual communities to choose those rates within that range. It is possible to ask for a rate outside of what they, the parameters that they give by asking for a variance. Over the last 13 plus years, the marina has maintained a fund balance. Currently, there's approximately $180,000 in that fund balance, which is accumulated actually just over the last few years because quite a bit of it was used when we put in the new dock that was done, I believe, 3 or 4 years ago. Cost of the project is estimated by Avon Marsh, the city's engineering firm. While the original cost document is older, they continue on a regular basis to reach out to contractors to make sure that they're still in the ballpark. They reach out to these contractors and say, are you seeing any significant increases? Do you see where the cost of your services would go up significantly to impact this number that they've been working with? All of the contractors were pretty comfortable with saying that they were still in the ballpark. Some items have went up, some have leveled out, some have started to go back down, and they're seeing that. So they didn't feel that the numbers that we're looking at are out of line. With that said, there is contingency built into the budget. If there is something that comes in unexpectedly high, but at the end of the day, until we have a project and we bid it out, we don't know what that number is going to be. The application discusses job creation, and I've had people ask when the application says it's going to create X number of jobs, are those jobs within the city? It's a standard that's used through the industry. When you invest so much into a project, it's the residual of how many jobs it's going to create throughout the community, throughout the region. It would include your contractors, you know, that are working on the project, etc. So it's not 40 new jobs here at City Hall. It's not 10 new jobs at the marina necessarily. It's your local businesses, it's the contractors and things like that, and that's how that number is derived. As far as the marina, we might have to hire one more person, and that's a temporary summer help that we hire for 3 months out of the year. And honestly, I don't even know if we would have to do that. In the past years, we've managed the one water arena, and we've done that with the staff that we had, and that's running back and forth and things. So, you know, it just really depends on how busy you are, the staff that you have, whether you've got new ones, you might have to have a few extra. If I've got returnees that know what they're doing, we can do it with less. And so that's just a year-to-year thing that we evaluate. In order to address the citizens' request for a survey, staff and city commission, I feel, need to have a little more discussion regarding exactly what information we're looking to garner, who we're targeting, and the timing of when we do that. You know, is it best served to conduct a survey prior to knowing if we have a chance at this grant? Because I think our questions would be different. You know, instead of if we get this money, would you be in favor? It would be, you know, we could target it a little bit more, I think. But, you know, that's a discussion to be had here. We also have with us tonight, as the mayor discussed, is our attorney to answer questions regarding this ballot initiative that we've had citizens ask for. Yeah, that's it for an update. And if I could just circle back real quick to the grant app and the error that was found in it. It was nothing but that. It was an oversight. It was an error. It was a big one.
Yeah.
And I'll be the first to admit it. I'm happy to take my share of the blame for it. You know, I'm not looking to make excuses. It was a very large document, a very, very complicated application. We did not have this document that we just fill in. It was an online submittal. It was this file, this form, et cetera, and then, you know, you compile it all together. So a little complicated, again, not an excuse. It was a mistake, and we were happy to address it as soon as we were made aware of it. You know, with that said, I have absolutely nothing to gain by trying to sneak something in, do something that was not directed by this commission, would not be smart on my part, and it's just not me. It was truly a mistake, and in fact, it would be detrimental to me to try to sneak something in. I mean, there's just nothing to gain. So it's unfortunate, you know, that people feel that city staff would actually do that on purpose, because it certainly was not intended for that. With that, I will answer any questions that anybody may have.
Okay.
Or you can turn it over to
I think I would like to move to the city attorney to just explain that, and then we can have the audience ask questions.
Can you hear me okay, Mayor?
You might be a little closer, Jim.
How about now?
So far, so good.
If not, I can get closer. I wrote you and the city commissioners a letter. So do I assume correctly you have it?
Yeah, I got it this afternoon.
So don't shoot me. I'm just the messenger here tonight. Because obviously, I fully appreciate marine expansion has pros and cons on both sides. So I'm not taking a side. There's people in favor, people opposed. But to be blunt, the question fits squarely on this city commission. You have the sound discretion to do whatever you want. You can proceed and continue with the marine expansion, and you can discontinue. But it is a question with in your discretion. It's simply put, and bluntly put, you can't put it on the ballot. Period. People who are passionate about being in favor or opposed, and they get a signature from everybody. It's simply a question like this cannot go on a ballot. And mainly because it doesn't involve an ordinance. You're not rezoning the property. You're not creating an ordinance that says to proceed, we must pass this ordinance or repeal an ordinance. So it would be contrary to your city charter, it would be contrary to the Home Rule City Act to put such a question on the ballot. I mean, in a way, listening tonight about parking, or I look at the beautiful ceiling, I mean, it's a question of, take for example, if city commission wanted to paint City Hall, or cover the wood with paint, or build an expansion at DPW, those are the types of decisions that are just fit squarely in your discretion. They don't involve zoning, they don't involve rezoning, they don't involve an ordinance, so they're not the types of legislative functions that are proper for a ballot. In anticipation for tonight, someone asked me, well, and I must be getting old because the fluoride, which came up before my time, and then again, for those of you that may remember the fluoride issue. Interestingly, because I had to find an old letter back in 2014 when the issue resurfaced, but apparently Michigan, and I don't remember this because it was in 1973, but the state of Michigan passed a legislative act that said everybody's getting fluoride in the state of Michigan unless a city passes an ordinance. And Boyne City passed an ordinance back then, and so people challenged it, and it went to a referendum. So it got put on the ballot. So you can see that's why it's different, because the decision involved an ordinance. And a referendum, which is basically putting something on the ballot, and again, a referendum is when you're opposed to something. An initiative, if the city commission didn't want to expand the marina, citizens would ostensibly say, well, we want to file an initiative. We want to get it on the ballot. That's what an initiative is. If they said, we want it, and I'm opposed, and I got a bunch of people oppose it, that's a referendum. But by definition, and this comes from old notes back with the fluoride issue in Boyne City, it's an event in which the people of the city vote for or against a law that deals with a specific issue. So there's no law involved with expanding the marina. You're either going to do it or you're not going to do it. It's not an ordinance, it's not a rezoning, it's not a law. And as such, the Home Rule City Act, which governs Boyne City, the charter and so forth, you just can't put it on the ballot. Again, I'm not here telling you it's a good idea or bad idea, you just can't do it.
Okay, thank you, Jim. We can move now to questions from the public or comment. We have Bart available and Jim. Direct the question to me. I'll pick up one.
I have a question to Bart.
Okay.
It's probably Mike King, probably all of you, because I'm a little upset about the whole. I'm Bonnie Johnson, 911 Wilson Street. Barb, you brought up the mooring fields, which you said it would be detrimental to your career. It absolutely should be detrimental to your career and Mike King's. That's $5 million you're asking for. No excuses that it should have been on there. I'm not buying it. I also found a couple other mistakes, and I forgot to bring those pages, but you were listed as the city manager, mm-hmm. and we discussed that. You joked about it on Facebook. I don't find any of it funny. I find it embarrassing. I find we spent, what, $4,000 to have a company help you write this grant. It's not impressive to me. I talked to several colleagues that write grants. It's a matter of fact, it's fraud. You also told us that we can't go back in and change things once we submit things. So I do question your credentials. I have nothing against you personally or Mike King, but this is a serious issue. We were just told by our city attorney that we can't vote on it. That's frustrating. But I also think that the commission needs to look at how you presented that grant. That's inexcusable. That's a hot mess. people are looking at us, and, you know, Charlevoix saying, don't do it. Other towns are saying, don't do it. You know, I'm pretty upset that you stand here and say it's detrimental, and it needs to be. And I honestly don't mean anything personal, but I honestly think that the commission needs to look at that, because if that's how you're submitting grants with mistakes, huge mistakes, not little mistakes. I've had colleagues say that they have certain, you know, they all take a part of picking apart grants and making sure it's correct. You should be very embarrassed by that. And I'm very upset because I've considered you a nice person, a friend, and it's upsetting to me to have to say that to you. But I hope that the commission looks at that. You can't say okay to that. That's a hot mess. And other towns are watching and can see those. And if I can pick out that stuff, there's probably way more than what I could pick out. And somebody needs to go through that grant and pick it apart piece by piece.
Thank you. Anyone else? Sandy?
Hi, I'm Sandy Pritchard, 526 East Lincoln. I guess the point of order would be, I wish that Barb's presentation was separate for comments than the attorney, because they're two very separate things. They're related, but the content of everything that Barb laid out is...
Just make your comments.
Okay. The 40-year-old facility, Michigan Waterways did a facility review in 2019, published it in February 2020, and said in 0 to 5 years, the Boyne City Marina only needed $1.4 million. And the total that was needed over 20 years was roughly $5 million. The alternate design was not approved or presented to the commission. So I refute that. The financial advisor, in their analysis of the viability of whether the city will earn enough to reimburse itself, relied on data supplied by the client. None of the data that's in there matches past history of revenues, nor does it match the attached a document by Abra Marsh that compares full bill versus existing. The bond document, I'm going to call it that, the big facility document, includes other things beyond marina slip revenue, which I believe totally muddies the water. What goes on is the boat launch down there, 15, 10, 20 grand, is a separate entity. In order to really do a good business case, one ought to look at just what's attached to the marina revenue. I realize you have a cost center, whatever it is, 285-030, but that's got a whole bunch of stuff in it that muddies the water, which to me is wrong. So consequently, I think the calculations that are behind the Baker Tilly are questionable. However, if I take it on its face value, just looking at the change in incremental change, it appears that the incremental change is $108,000 per year. And I have a feeling that the citizens of Boyne City would be willing to forego that incremental $108,000 to not have the marina expanded. There's a thing called the public trust doctrine, and you guys are fiduciaries to represent the public trust. So consequently, I suggest you take a look at that. As far as the bond goes, I do have a question to be educated. You stated in your memo, now that the notice of intent has been published and there was no referendum petition during the referendum period, the bonds can be, would you explain what that is? What the referendum petition, during the referendum petition is? And secondly, what are the requirements for a citizen-initiated referendum? Thank you.
Jim, would you like?
Well, it's right in your charter, the answer. Again, what to do for a referendum, how many votes you need, and what you need for an initiative. But it's not applicable because you're not asking to put an ordinance up for vote. You're asking to expand a marina. It doesn't involve, again, you're not rezoning property. You're not doing the things that Michigan's law says go on ballots. You're not creating law. You're just creating a decision about what you want to do in your city.
To be clear, we're talking about citizen-initiated referendum.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. A citizen can't, I don't mean to be cute because I just like the ceiling, but it would be like saying, citizens, what if you got enough votes to say, paint this black? Could that go on? No. I mean, it can't because it doesn't involve a question of legislature involving, you know, a rezoning or an ordinance. It's just paint the ceiling black. I mean, if you really, and I'm giving kind of an absurd example to kind of make my point, not everything is subject to initiative and referendum. Kind of why we have a legislative board that you vote for. So if you're unhappy with their decisions, you might not vote for them again. But for the day-to-day discretionary decisions, it lies in this board.
So what was meant by that last paragraph?
Sandy, how are we doing with time, Ms.?
Oh, I stopped it, but she was almost to it, so she's passed.
Okay. Thank you, Sandy. Anyone else?
So she gets the room together.
Any other comments?
Just brief. So,
excuse me, could you identify yourself, please, for the record?
Jerry's Road, 824 East Main Street.
Thank you.
So I'm correct in assuming that you're saying the citizens will have no say in if an expansion takes place or not, even if they want to do like a petition drive to put it up to a vote?
Correct.
There's no way to draw up a legal petition.
Nope.
And get enough signatures to force it into a
ballot. Even if you have 51%, 75%, it's not a ballot type of question. And not because the marina is not important, it has nothing to do with the marina. It's just what can go on ballots, what can't go on ballots. And that's not an example of what can go on a ballot, even though it may be a good idea to put it on a ballot, but you can't. Plain and simple.
That's disgusting.
That's why I said, don't shoot me. I didn't make up the laws, but it's just the way it is.
Anyone else?
Isn't it?
Pat, could you stand?
I'm sorry. Pat Ansel, 161 Henderson Road, Vermont City. Don't the citizens basically have their voice heard on issues like this by electing commissioners? And then commissioners make their decisions on these items? Isn't that the correct way that the citizens
that's exactly.
Do you have a voice?
Correct. And, well, Point City, you have even goal setting, right? I mean, and you have these meetings. And sometimes a lot of people come. So, yes, I mean, that's really, but it's ultimately, hate to say it, Commissioner, but it's ultimately your decision and only yours.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Again.
Do you have another question? Go ahead, Jerry.
How much in the black is the marine outreach?
Currently, we have a fund balance of $180,000. I believe that was the number on the last audit.
Okay, how much of that money goes right back into upgrade and maintain of the current marina?
Money is budgeted each year for maintenance, and it depends on the projects and the maintenance that we deem necessary. So that number changes each year.
So in your opinion, has the marina degraded enough where we need to do a thorough upgrade?
Based on the age of the docks, based on the outdated electrical, yes, outside of the fixed piers that have already been redone, outside of the dock that we installed a few years ago, the other docks are in poor condition.
So then it's fair to assume that the marina is not supporting itself.
It's going to reach a point where it won't. Right now, it's showing a fund balance each year. but it's going to get to the point where the repairs and the maintenance on it are going to escalate to the point where it won't.
Do all the fees that the boaters pay go into the maintenance fund?
They go into the marina fund.
Guys, you're getting ripped off. It's not up to date. It's in disrepair.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you. Anyone else?
Pete Friedrich, 415 High Street. Question maybe Bart can help. What time of year did the electrical requirements for the slips change, which caused that electrical problem to be out of date?
That, unfortunately, right after the incident happened down in Traverse City.
So we were aware that there's an issue from accident in Traverse City?
The electric shock drowning became a priority, and the state started changing the standards for electrical hookups at marina facilities.
Was that a state requirement?
I believe so, yeah.
Anyone else? Cindy?
Cindy Banner, 507 Spring Street. I'll start with a couple questions. My first question would be both to Mike and Barb. Did you both read and approve that grant before you submitted it?
Barb, would you like to answer that?
Sure. I went through it. Again, it's not the same document like you guys received it all in one nice package. I would log in and I would have to go to this form and that form, etc. We talked about, I had concerns about the way it was presented originally because I wanted to make sure that we conveyed that we had this revised plan. And it gets a little difficult because the original plan is what we have permits for. So we were trying to convey, here's the original plan, this is what we have permits for. We have a revised plan that addressed, I was really unfortunately focused more on Dock B. That's where the major changes were. In my mind, the moorings, because we had discussed it for so long that they were off the table, it just didn't even register that they didn't address that change as well, because I was so focused on Dock B. But yes, the forms, some of them I filled out. Many of them Adam Marsh filled out. We went back and forth. There were a lot of discussion and things were missed. Some of, like the fact that it was my name and then city manager. Some of those areas are just, they're autofill. And we just didn't catch it. You know, as you're plugging things in and it autofilled something, you just didn't notice it. And it's unfortunate. And again, I'm happy to take my share of the blame. But we were able to address it. EDA did not have an issue with it. They said, just give us the corrected information for us to review.
And Mike?
I worked mainly through Barb with regards to it. I authorized her to sign it on my behalf. We went over what the parameters were, what was approved by the City Commission. Per that drawing that the City Commission reviewed in December, that's exactly what was being proposed. It's unfortunate that narrative with regards to the mooring field was in there, and obviously it's a mistake we made and cleaned up too. But again, if you look at the whole document as a whole, there weren't the components to support that. So, and I just got to point back out with regards to some of the comments that have been directed toward Barb in particular, or staff. Barb has done an excellent and outstanding job with regards to bringing millions of dollars of grants. She's an expert with regards to that. She does fun, extraordinary work with regards to that. And has basically saved the community millions of dollars for improvements on various things, not just the marina. To help us with the open space acquisition, things of that nature. and I have complete and ultimate confidence with regards to her, and that's the way we've proceeded with this grant application, as we have with pretty much every other grant application that the city has done in the last 19 years that we've worked together.
Okay, well, I'm going to say, you know, it became very evident to me immediately, and I think this is part of the problem, because you know what? I myself, and I know there's other people in that room that requested to see that grant, I think if this entire commission would have saw that grant, literally, I left this meeting in January, and I went home and stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning to read that 700 pages of the grant, and in less than 5 minutes, I saw mistakes. I saw the big mistake. I saw Barb signed as, and that's a problem. And I'm like, no offense to Barb, but Barb could be in charge of this entire project if it goes through, and we didn't catch something as simple as that. I caught it in less than 5 minutes. And I know I'm not the only one, because Sandy's sitting right here too. We are in communication together. And so it's misleading. So as a person in this community, you do ask, was that intentional? Were you going to let it slip by? And you do need to take ownership of it. You're the city manager. You signed that document. And there are several other things in there that I personally felt were misleading. You know, when we show our marina, we didn't show the pictures of the boats that are typically
10 seconds.
In there. We showed the Boyne Thunder boats.
Cindy, you have 30 seconds.
That's not fair, because I haven't had much time to speak because they were speaking. But then
but
here's my other thing
is,
even when it came to like the public and how they viewed that marina project, there was one sentence in there that there was opposition. And the whole rest of that other paragraph and component in there was all about support for that. And that's not truthful. You know what? The minutes in there, they were listed in that entire grant, and they went through October. So as soon as this new commission took over, there weren't any minutes. They're highlighted in that grant in yellow, anything that pertains to the Michigan, the marina. Why did we stop those minutes in that grant in October? Because we went till December 23rd was when that was signed. So why are all those minutes missing? Because those are the minutes that had the opposition.
Thank you.
And that's unfortunate.
Thank you.
Misled.
Cindy, you've had your opportunity. Thank you. And I think, you know, we're being very disrespectful. It's just, it's to the point where I can't believe we're talking to each other the way that we're talking to each other. And it's just, I can't believe it.
Are you saying that I'm disrespectful to you?
I can't believe it. So, is there any other comment now from the public?
Was you saying I'm disrespectful?
Anyone else from the public? Okay, commissioners, any thoughts? Tim, do you want to start with you?
Yeah. So I got a few questions, well, quite a bit of questions. So one question for Barb, without doing the expansion, just currently knowing what we have to repair and update right now, without doing the expansion, do we have an estimate on what the cost of repair of what we currently have would be?
So I'm going to go off memory. I reported that at our December meeting, and I want to say that it was around like 2.7 million.
I think it was 2.8. I remember like 2.8 million or something.
Maybe. Okay. Under 3, for sure.
What are your options of do we have any possible funding options for funding the $2.8 million it would cost to repair and replace what we currently have?
So annually, you can apply for funding through the State Waterways Commission.
Mm-hmm.
They have a pretty small pot of money. Generally, you don't see grant dollars over like $500,000. That would be a large grant for them, a larger grant. They try to spread it out throughout the state, and what they do is if we have a larger project, like if you were looking at just replacing what we have, they want you to take that larger project and try to break it down in phases. So there's no guarantee that they will fund you year after year, but they ask you to break it down in smaller phases. So they can spread their money out and not put it all in one community.
Okay. And then one last question for you before I have questions for the city attorney. There's a section in the grant that's called, the title of the section is called Public Notification / Controversial Section. There is no mention, I mean, it's a section that has quite a bit, it's a lengthy section, quite a bit is wrote in there. It was disappointing to see, from my standpoint, that there's no mention in there regards to the petition or the amount of signatures or the discussions that we've had about surveying the community. Is there a specific reason why those were not included in that section?
So, it's difficult to talk about the petitions when I know how many signatures there were, it was turned in, there was no way for us to validate that. We don't know exactly who was out gathering these. We don't know what information was shared or what information was left out. And I'm not insinuating that anybody gave this information. We can't validate it though.
Okay. And then questions for the city attorney. Because I know when communicating with attorney, it's all about asking the right question. And I completely am grasping and understand the concept of painting this room black or painting the ceiling black and throwing it on the ballot. Could you walk me through the example of the bond for the city hall, this building that we're in right now, and how that became on the ballot? Just referencing what you said, there was no rezoning for the $1.7 million bond for this building. There is no ordinance change for the bond, for the $1.7 million bond for this building. And just another scenario like the school. So like the school building, you know, that again, that's just another example. Because you see time and time again where when a community is having a bond scenario, it goes on to the ballot, whether the community wants to accept that bond debt to the taxpayers or not. So can you walk me through how, you know, that $1.7 million bond for this building, it was on the ballot. No law was changed, no ordinance was changed, there's no rezoning issue or anything like that. But, so I guess to go back to my original statement, asking the right question. So since there is a bond in regards to the marina expansion, putting the taxpayers at risk or in debt for that bond, can that bond go on to the ballot, or go on to a ballot?
Yeah, and I have to apologize because I found the fluoride one, but I didn't find, I don't know, we weren't involved back with the bond, but I don't know why it went to referendum back with the bond. As I say in my letter here, if a bond involves an ordinance, then it is subject to referendum. Like the one, what was it, the city of Lansing, you can't be cute, and let's say this was R1 property that the city bought in order to expand. And R1 wouldn't allow a marina, and therefore you'd have to rezone. City of Lansing thought they were a little cute, and they passed it as a resolution. And the court said, well, no, wait a minute. That is a legislative function that is should have been a rezoning. So you can't do that. And they said, therefore, that is absolutely permissible to be put on a ballot. So I really can't answer every question tonight, and I wish I could have found what happened. How many years ago was that? Yeah, I didn't find that, but I'm not here saying not every issue goes to ballot. I'm just saying the pure question of whether you want it to proceed is not proper on a ballot.
Correct.
If you change the facts and say, well, and I'm not bond counsel, but if bond counsel says we need an ordinance to pass a bond, then that ordinance is subject to referendum. But you wouldn't get there if a commission says, well, we don't want to get there anyway, right? I mean, if you don't want to proceed, don't proceed. If you want to proceed and you don't need a bond, well, then no referendum. But you'd have to ask bond counsel, unless Mike or someone knows, do you need an ordinance for a bond?
So,
and I'm not here tonight to give you that answer because that's a bond question. But you are correct, change the facts. That's why my letter says it quite clearly, you know.
Right.
If it does involve an ordinance, then the citizens do have the right of referendum.
Right.
But the pure question about proceeding is not involving a bond. If round two you need a bond, I'll ask bond council, do you need an ordinance? So it's not the bonding that's the distinction, it's the ordinance that would be the pure fact that you bond is not a ballot question, it's the ordinance. That makes sense?
Yep, completely. But it just kind of brings me right back to it. Like Mike said, it was 2017, it was a $1.7 million bond for this building. I don't see any ordinance change or anything that happened at that time for that bond.
And I wish I found it, but I didn't, and I don't have that handy.
Okay. Because that's a question that I've been asked. Is how do you see bond votes on ballots, and how this is going to include a bond, but it can't go on a ballot?
I'd hate to speculate, but I'm going to suggest there is probably an ordinance.
Anything else?
No, that's all I have for now.
Okay, Martin.
Well, to that debacle, is it fair then? I mean, because I read your report completely, Jim, and that was my question. I'm actually obviously quite perplexed, as because I know there isn't anybody sitting in this room that said, geez, I'm pretty sure we need a new city hall. Let's put that up for a referendum. I might be wrong, and somebody out here might say, no, I put that up for a referendum. I don't believe that for an instance. And I do sincerely know that it wasn't a five-member commission that put it up for the vote. It went to a vote for the bond. So I guess what I would like, Mr. Mayor, is that then I would like our attorney to look in and tell us exactly, what is happening, what is different here. You explained it. I got it. You explained it in your letter. You explained it in the way that I believe you thought we wanted to hear it, I guess, to an extent. And you said that's not a slight at you at all, Jim. It's that you wrote a report and you cited the wording. So if the wording needs to be changed to satisfy everybody in this room, then I would like to hear about that. And I would like to hear how we can do that.
But it's not the wording.
Okay. So it's an ordinance or a resolution. Do we need to go through zoning then and rezone the marina so we can do an ordinance change? I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm trying to ask. I don't understand. I mean, we got a future or a former superintendent sitting in the audience. We went through many bond proposals, and it wasn't voted on by just a seven-person board saying that okay, here we go. I mean, it had to come, and it went through that process, but that was how it got to the ballot. But it's very confusing to me, and I really have a problem with playing games with words. I'm not saying you're playing games with words. That's not what I'm saying. All right? I read your report. Again, anybody can see it. I'll make photocopies of it for everybody. Here's why I'm not buying exactly what's being sold everywhere. Is because the only way we stopped a One Water Three Street project, and I'll digress, for 14 years ago when my mother was laying, dying in a hospital bed, as I'm standing over here, barking people that they had to vote yes, to vote no on a proposal. And that was disgusting to me. And it was all about the wording, and it was all about playing fancy games and everything like that. And, so it took all 24 hours of the last few days of my mother's life that I spent standing out there just for that aspect.
And if it's just playing games with wording, then tell me how to play games with wording. And so we can make this community happy. If you're just going to sit here, not you, if we're just going to sit here and pin this back on this board, it's got to be that way. I've got no problem sitting here and voting on that. I don't have a problem. I'll tell you that right now. But I don't believe it. I don't believe that for a second. Again, you know, you've made plenty of comments about the ceiling here and everything like that. I get it. We can't, you know, the citizens can't come in and go, hey, I need you to paint that. But you know what? Everyone in this room had a vote on whether this sucker was going to get built or not. So, all right, I'll shut up on that one for a second. That's a big frustration of this aspect. Barb, questions to you. You and I talked a little bit about the rates being capped by the state. How many variances have ever been approved? Not here, anywhere. I mean, does the state say, well, you can disagree with our rates, and we'll try to agree to disagree, or we won't agree. You know, do any of those battles ever get won with the state?
Sure. So. There's a form that you fill out requesting a variance. The Waterways Commission meets every other month. It goes through the operations subcommittee first, and then they present all the information and make a recommendation to the full Waterways Commission to vote on. And when you fill out that form, you provide them with as much data as you can to support your request. Again, the state is not looking to have marina facilities owned by municipalities fail. That goes against everything, you know, that they stand for and work for. They want them to be successful. The more successful they are, the less money they have to give out in grants. So they're not looking to micromanage. But they do realize, and this is one of the reasons that the rates may be a little lower than private facilities, is municipalities have the state as partners. So a private marina that needs to upgrade, like say the Harbridge needs to make some major upgrades, they can go to the state and ask for funds. If they have a $2 million project, they have a $2 million project on their hand. We can go to the state and say we have a $2 million project and we need some help. And they might give us $500,000 or whatever the amount is that we ask for, or they deem that they can give. And so it gives municipalities a little bit of advantage over private facilities. So they do look at that as one of, you know, the things, you know, as they're deciding, but that's not the only factor that they look at.
Okay. Another question. How long do we have to respond to the grant? If the grant were to come back to you, it's Tuesday. If the grant was supposed to come back to you next Monday and say, you know what, just what you submitted, have at it. You know, it's perfect. State says go. You know, we're not in go mode. How long do we have to respond to that?
Are you referring to the EDA grant application?
Yeah, the one that just got submitted.
Yep. I don't know that. Okay. They did not provide any of that information. I don't know how long they'll take to review it. And if it's approved, I don't know how long.
So no idea if we got a day or a week or 6 months.
I don't know if that's okay. Something that you want to try to follow up on. I'd be happy.
Well, I think that's important. Sure. I think we absolutely need to know that. That's about all my questions.
Yeah, question for Jim or Bart. Is because we have taken money from the state in the past for our marina, is that correct? Yeah.
Correct.
So we are required to actually maintain and keep a marina at that point because we've taken money from the past.
So whenever you receive money for the state, it's to maintain that facility for the lifetime of it, which they consider about 20 to 25 years. If we took money from them and 25 years from that point and we'd taken no more, we don't have to abide by any of their parameters. But it's been general practice. We've gotten state grants many of times. way before me, and in my 16 years or so, we've gotten several.
Okay. So we're within the 25-year, this would go a long time from now that we would have to maintain a marina because we've taken state money, and say the last 10 years.
Correct.
Yeah. So we can't just let it fall around and ruin and fall apart and become nothing. We'd be in trouble with the state at this point.
We could be, if we pulled the marina out completely, said it's in disrepair and we just yank it all out and we don't operate it, we could potentially be in jeopardy of having to pay back some of those funds.
Okay. And with that, if somehow or another the board decided to just replace what's there, what's currently there, with all rain, would you have to resubmit that whole application, the one that was just submitted for the grant?
There would not be a resubmittal.
It didn't apply, remember? It couldn't do it for repairs.
No, to replace what's there, I guess, is what I'm asking.
There's not a resubmittal.
I think what Barb is trying to say, it wouldn't qualify under the grant criteria. There has to be some new aspects with regards to it as well.
Would have to be redone.
That's not true.
Again, what I think Barb is trying to say, and Barb can correct me if I'm wrong, is if we can't apply for that grant and assume that it would go forward with just repairing the existing marina.
Okay.
That's not true.
Well, is there anything else, George?
No.
Tom?
Excuse me. First of all, I would like to support Barb on record. She has put her heart and soul into this for 20 years, and for her to be accused of fraud tonight is just not right. Second of all, what's the role of city government? City government is to take care of our assets. Our assets includes $300 million worth of property and facilities and everything that the city owns. I think the $300 million is correct. Our job is to take care of avalanche. Our job is to take care of the pavilion, the parks, the roads, the open space, the ball fields. We have put money into all of these recently. We've upgraded bathrooms and pavilions, the pickleball courts, because we own them, because it's our responsibility to offer a quality asset. We, along with that, our obligation is to go for these goals and work with the goals to create housing opportunities, to create better working conditions for our staff, to improve wages for our staff, to create economic opportunities downtown and in the business park and our recreational facilities. Well, the marina falls under the same category. In my opinion, our responsibility is to offer a marina, because it's owned by the city, that is up to standards, up to par, up to conditions set by the state. And our staff has been tasked for 20 years to work gradually towards this process of writing grant money to improve the marina, because we own the marina and it's our responsibility to offer a quality marina. So it kind of all goes together. Our job is to fix the airport to high standards. Our job is to fix the marina to high standards. We have two options. One is to pursue the two grants. We've received one. We're pursuing the other grant. And that, along with user fees, takes the burden off the taxpayer, and we get a $5-point-something million marina through grant money and user fees. And we've had three financial consultant firms tell us that that is the way to go. We had Barb tell us tonight that that's what many municipalities do. They borrow money in the way of a bond so that you can make the improvements, It's like we have a car with 600,000 miles on it, and we nurse it along for 300,000. At some point, we need to replace it. And to replace it, as Barb pointed out, you need to borrow the money or get the money through grant money and replace our marina. Staff has stretched the dollars, as Barb pointed out tonight, to make this 25-year-old marina last 50 years or 40 years. We stretched the dollars. We have not wasted dollars. We have, you just pointed out, George, can we just replace what we did? No, because we need the revenue of added slips to pay for the bond, to pay for the whole $5 million. We have an obligation to do this no different than any other asset in the city. And so, you know, we talked about this at the last, we will proceed going forward until we get an answer. When we get an answer, yay or nay, on the grant, then, as Marty pointed out, then we have maybe a quick timeline or a long timeline to make that decision. We've had three consultants tell us it's not a vote of the people. We've had three consultants tell us that the bond is the way to go. We are not the experts. We are asking the experts. We are asking the engineers to put this package together. It's an asset. It's an asset to Boynton. It's no different than any other asset. And our responsibility is to improve it.
Thank you, Tom. So, commissioners, I'm not quite sure how you want to move forward at our meeting in December.
I have two more questions. The letter to Mike with the corrections, was there a different letter that the engineering firm sent to the EDA? Oh, or was this the same exact letter that they sent to the EDA stating that the corrections or the errors on the grant?
The letter that is in the packet is a letter specific to Mike.
Can you share a letter? I'm interested in the letter that the engineering firm sent to the EDA grantor. I don't know if the other commissioners would want to do that.
I'm not sure that there was an actual letter to them. I know that there was a phone call made to say there's been an error found and we will be addressing that and submitting a revised application. I'm not aware if there was an actual letter sent to them.
Okay, can you follow up with me between now and next?
Sure.
Next meeting, if there was a letter, give me a copy of that.
Yep.
And then can you give, at that same follow-up, can you give me a point of contact with POC for the EDA and whoever the grantor is? And then just to follow up with the city attorney, so obviously there's some questioning on verbiage and whether this bond can go on the ballot or not. And you're going to leave here and you said you're going to look into the ordinance.
Well, let me put it this way, because I'm trying to give you what I would call maybe like a formula.
Right.
And then you can use the formula and fill in any facts, and then you should get your answer.
Right.
So let's test the formula. If the bonding requires an ordinance, it's subject to referendum.
Right. And so I would like
and
you
so,
to follow
but,
up.
But you're not there. Well, but it's a two-step process. You can't also file a referendum until you've adopted the ordinance. And you're not at that level yet. Right now, you're just deciding, do we want to proceed?
Okay, as a city attorney that's employed by Boynton City, from my standpoint as a commissioner, I've stated it several times in public meetings that because this is a bond and going back in future bond issues going on a ballot, I think it would be the best interest for this to be on a ballot because of that bond. And using those examples, again, of this building. So as a city attorney that's employed by Boynton City, are you willing to look into and figuring out that question specifically? Because I know you gave us this report on whether the commission would like the ceiling to be black or not.
It's probably very easy because, again, there's really only one bond firm in Michigan, and Boyne City uses them, Miller Canfield.
Okay.
So if it's a generic question, but again, the answer is going to be if you need a bond, if you need, if the bond needs an ordinance, and they'll answer that like
so
that.
So your recommendation as a city attorney then is for us to reach out.
I can ask them, again, I know these guys are, it's they do it all over the state, every city, they are typically bond counsel.
Okay.
But hear me out, you have an adopt, let's say it does require an ordinance, and therefore you say tonight, I want it on the ballot. You can't, because you have not adopted the ordinance yet.
Completely understand.
So therefore, the day you say, I hereby move to approve this ordinance, the bond ordinance, bingo. Citizens can file a petition for referendum. The charter dictates how many they have. They get enough signatures, it's going on the ballot.
Can I pick that kind of question? Could I
yes,
sure. Jim, doesn't it have something to do with the fact that when this building was built, you had to ask the taxpayers to pay for it because their taxes were going up? With the marina, we're clearly showing that the marina is going to pay off the bond.
Exactly, Mayor. That's why I said, not being bond counsel, and I don't know how you're going to finance this. So it's really not ripe until someone can tell me how the bond would work. And they are different. Every bond is different. So the formula, hopefully I'm leaving you here tonight with a formula that just says if the bond requires an ordinance, when you adopt the ordinance, it's subject to referendum. If you ask the question, well, wait a minute, couldn't the citizens tonight do an initiative? Well, what, to put an ordinance, to pass an ordinance for the bond? No. Right, what would the initiative be? So it has to really be, does this commission get there so far that it adopts an ordinance? And then, I think I'm kind of repeating myself, but that's why I was hoping leaving you with the formula. I'm not saying it's not impossible that the bond might have an ordinance and then it's subject to referendum.
Thank you for that. That's probably the most sense that I've heard out of any of this. That's not directly getting at you, Jim. That actually at least clears it up a little bit. That, you know, if you're, you know, if you can make the dollars work, you don't really have to. But I don't know that that's exactly a formula either, quite frankly.
It is an enterprise fund.
Well, and Headley, I don't remember if this building, because don't forget, we have Headley, and so some things you have to put it to a vote to, I'm not a Headley expert, but it's complicated, but when the question is presented, we can answer it. I'm giving you the formula tonight.
So I'm presenting the question. What I would like is I'd like our attorney to answer the question, not tonight. I got it. And answer the question and say, okay, here's what was different. You know, what ordinance was in play for this building? And or, if it didn't need to be an ordinance, you know, if Headley was the whole example, I can respect that too. I'd like to see what is different. What is the difference? Because right now I got no difference. I've got none. All we've got is the fact that, you know, four or five years ago, this community was asked for almost $8 million to build this building on a bond, and now we're asking them to bond for a marina, and the answer just seems to be a mired answer. And again, you're being put on the spot, and I'm not trying to do it.
Well, we're just not there. The problem is we're not there yet because we don't know what the bond would look like because no one's told us.
Well, we pretty much sort of know what the bond would look like. That's pretty much where we're at.
It'll be answered by your bond count. I won't answer that for you. They will tell you what it'll look like from a legal perspective.
So you can't research with the bond counsel and say what was the difference for.
I'm just going to ask them.
Nice wood ceilings.
We're getting too complicated. It's as simple as I'm going to ask them. Do you need an ordinance? Yes or no. If it's yes, subject to referendum. If it's no, then it's no.
That's not what I asked you, Jim. I asked you what was in play. I forget the marina. I asked you to research
research what was in play here. If we can't find that out from you or from the bond council, then I you know, this is just silly.
Okay,
just
it's not hard to we'll figure that.
That's all I ask. That's all I ask if we could get an answer.
Okay. I will just say this point of order, real quick. I will just say this. I'm going to be asked when I leave here tonight, why can that bond issue not be on the ballot? And my response is going to be the city attorney doesn't know.
Well, I thought I gave you the answer. If the bond requires an ordinance, it will be subject to referendum.
So the bond in this building required an ordinance?
I told you I didn't look at the bond before tonight. I didn't know that was going to be an issue tonight. Right before I came, I had some discussions that it may be, and same thing with the fluoride, and unfortunately, I picked the fluoride to go look at, and I ran out of time.
And that's all I'm asking is for you to explain. I know the fluoride example. So that I can explain that question when I get asked that question. This is why the building bond issue was a ballot, and this is why this bond issue with the marina cannot be on the ballot. I need to hold myself accountable as an elected official and be able to have meet in a conversation when I leave here.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, Tom?
I think you hit it spot on. The answer is, we've been told by three consultants, that if you raise the rate, the millage rate, as on this building, then it needs to be a vote of the people. Our consultants, three different consultants, have said that we can put this package together on the marina without raising any millage, and that's the difference that you're looking for. Hugh, you were right on. You defined it.
That's right.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate that we have this confusion with our city attorney. You know, just the whole, we had a mistake when we submitted the grant, we're having an issue here, you know, we're kind of really losing our credibility, it seems like. So, my understanding is Baker Tilly is our municipal advisor on this. They're a national and international company. They work with about 400 Michigan communities and townships and those sorts of things. They work with school districts, and what they have presented to us is that with the revenue from the marina since 2015 to now, that's all part of the grant information. But they're projecting that with the new slips, the average revenue is going to be $295,000 on an average. Expenses they're anticipating are $145,000. That leaves a cash flow of $150,351. If you move over to what the cost of the 20-year bond issue is, it is going to cost, let's see here, $120,000. $117,000. That's an average between a conservative estimate of $120,000 and an aggressive of $114,000. That brings us to $117,000. The increased revenue off the expanded marina is $145,000, which would leave a cash flow of $28,000. So we would be able, if we get this grant, we would be able to pay for the rebuild of the marina without borrowing any money, other than that borrowing that amount of money. We don't have to ask the taxpayers for any additional money.
And I remember those meetings this summer, and I remember a specific question that was asked to the financial advisor, and his response was basically that it would be at a cost because that's not allocated in there. Because one of the questions was, what's the 20-year projected maintenance increase and maintenance cost of maintaining it? And that's not part of the numbers that you read up. Those haven't been shared, and there is no business model showing those. But one example specifically was Summer Point. And the
Somerset.
And the wall that they have up there, the floating wall, and the ice damage that they had done the very first year, and that expense increase. And so that example was used. If we go and do this, and we have a record ice season, or you know, ice and wind, and it damages it within that very first year, just like Somerset, and that $700,000 that they're looking forward to repair the docks that they just had done a year ago. And so it was asked, you know, with the number and the revenues and income that you just shared, would that be able to cover a cost, a natural disaster cost like that? And his response was, it's not guaranteed. Whether it's water levels are going to decrease income, whether there's a natural disaster. So it's not 100% guaranteed when you say it's not going to cost the taxpayers, because a scenario like that can happen where it could cost the taxpayers. And that was the response he gave this summer.
Well, I'm listening to all the conversation. It's good conversation. There's some new questions that have been asked tonight. I think the main one that I'm hearing right now from the commission is, why was there a vote for this building in the financial issue? And there isn't one available for the marina topic. That seems to be the question that's out there. We think we have an answer potentially from Hugh with regards to the source of the repayment, which is either taxes for this building, it's a separate village, so that may be part of the equation, or for the marina, it's revenue coming from the users itself. And all those financial numbers that the mayor just cited were correct. Tim is correct. There is no 100% guarantee. Nobody's ever said there would be. But based on all the experience and the expertise, this project appears very financially sound. But tell me if I'm incorrect, but I'm still hearing the commission saying, we'd like to know the difference between the two and have some clarity on it. I don't think that's a lack of credibility. I think that's a question that was asked that we need to do some research and bring it back to the commission. And if the commission wants that answer to come back, I'll work with Jim and I'll work with our bond counsel, Pat McGow from Miller Canfield, and provide that answer for you, by the next city commission meeting. That should not be that big a deal to track that down, to confirm whether it's what we're talking, what the mayor has mentioned, or if there were other factors involved. Again, Pat should know, because he's helped us with getting us to the point where the $1.5 million bond issue availability is an option for us for the marina, and also got us the $7.1 or so million dollars that was for this building. He should be able to draw, compare and contrast that, and I'd be glad to facilitate that discussion and make sure that answer comes back to the city commission.
That would be good for me. Commissioners, do you have any comment about that?
I totally agree with you, Mike, that is what we've been discussing. But then, Mr. Mayor, what's the next step? Because are we waiting, as Marty brought up, a timeline as to when we get the A or nay on the grant? Are we waiting on this question that Mike just brought up? Or is there other issues out there? What are you looking for? What are we looking for to make the next step? Mike has an answer.
Go ahead.
Well, a couple of things. One, in response to Marty's question, if I had to guess, and it's a guess at this point that Barb's going to verify, I think we're going to have at least a few months to decide if we're going to accept the grant, if we're fortunate enough to accept it. And that, as I think we've all said, that's a pretty big if. We don't know if that's going to happen. The commission twice, once with this current body and once previously, has authorized staff to go forward with regards to the grant application to get the answer to that question. And I think the answer to that question, whether it's yay or nay, is going to drive so many more of our other decisions or discussions about, do we really even have to talk about an expansion or things of that nature? If we don't get the grant, I think that probability goes way down, and it may answer the question for us. We've talked about, possibly coming out with a community survey to get some feedback from everybody on that. I think, as Barb mentioned earlier, one of the topics for us is the timing. And I would like to have that timing actually more after we get the answer on the $3.2 million question. We need to find out how much time we have to work with and things of that nature, so we can give the public more facts as to what it is rather than all the speculation. We're going to have lots more questions that are come up as we go through this process. Ones we probably don't even know right now. And I want to make sure that when we ask the public the question, that's something the commission has indicated that we want to do, that we have them before them the best, most concise, correct information so they can make a decision on it. And then we also need to make sure that whatever process that we use is a process that is as bulletproof as possible. So one side or the other isn't saying, okay, you're playing games with this or whatever. We're going to have to talk about what the questions are, who do we want to get the answers from, things of that nature. Is it every person in Boyne City? Is it every registered voter? Is it every taxpayer? I mean, there's a couple different ways to slice it. I think when we get to the point when we want to ask that question, we're probably going to want to get some professional assistance. We're probably going to have to spend some money on it. So it's made sure that as much as possible, that whatever the results are and the people that get the results, that they'll have confidence in it, whatever it is. And it isn't, you know, the proverbial ballot box isn't stuffed by the pros or the cons or, you know, myself or whoever people want to, indicate that it's at. So I think there's a couple of questions that came up here today. Personally, I don't think there's any action that the City Commission needs to take today other than continuing to get the information and sharing it with the public with regards to this ballot question. I think Jim clarified a lot of it, but a new question came up with regards to the difference between the two. I could be getting that for you at the next meeting. Barb can get the other question with regards to Marty's question as best as we can with regards to how much time we have to work with. I'm never in favor, if somebody said, you have 2 days to work with it. I'm never in favor of a bum rush. And if somebody put that gun to our head, I would say, okay, well, maybe that's a reason to say no. Thanks, but no thanks. Move on. We haven't had the chance to consult with our constituents and things of that nature. I think my recommendation to the City Commission is let this thing ride. Barb's going to continue to be working with the folks on the grant. Answer any questions that you folks have come up, direct them to Barb or myself. We'll continue to get you the answers, and we'll narrow the scope of what the unknowns are so that when we go to the public, they can make hopefully an informed decision with regards to it. Obviously, tensions are high on this. We certainly, in some respects, I agree with the mayor that our credibility is on the line. I want to make sure we do as good a process as possible. And part of that's getting this good of information. Jim provided us a lot of good information with regards to initiatives and referendums and ballot issues. Some new questions come up. They're fair questions, and I don't see any problems getting the answers.
Okay. Commissioners, does that seem like a good approach?
That's fine with me. Those are the two biggest questions I have. I mean, that's it. You know, what is it with the bond? No offense, Mike, I'd rather have, pay Jim to do it and talk to the bond people and get us the directive that way. As far as where we go, getting an answer from Barb. Do we need to make a motion? Because I'll make a motion.
No, I think they have a clear direction.
Okay. Well, because I mean, sometimes we think we have clear direction, then we get to the next meeting and we're like, well, I wasn't exactly sure if we were doing that or not. Are we clear? Is that the direction that we would like to go?
So it is for me. So the two items are we're going to verify about the bond, the question about the bond, and then the question about how much time we may have once we find out the result of whether or not we're accepted for the grant.
Yep, and I just had those two other things that Bart said you'd follow up.
Okay. So are we good?
I'm in favor. Of that direction. Not a motion.
Okay.
Mayor, did you want to save? Do I understand you want to save the taxpayers' money? Hey, Mayor.
Yeah, save the mayor. Can we call the recess?
Yes.